Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you this morning. Great to have you in that listening audience. Our message this morning I'm titling is a Spirit Baptism for Everyone, and it's a continuation, a follow-up of the message that I spoke last week about the Spirit Baptism, the Holy Spirit, and how it was poured out on all mankind. And I just pray that you will listen very closely today if you're already a believer, but you're not filled and baptized with the fire, the Holy Spirit. This is going to be a very important and appropriate message for you. If you are not a believer, you need to accept Jesus. You need to come into the place of trusting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you can receive that Spirit baptism. You can receive that Holy Spirit, that Counselor, to abide with you as well. And so for everybody out there listening today, whether you're just curious or you're a longtime believer or you're just wanting to go deeper with the Lord, this message is for you. And so I pray that you open up your Bibles, turn it to Luke, the 11th chapter. We're going to start out in verse 9. And I wanted to just say at the outset here, brothers and sisters, that everything in the Christian walk, every single thing that God has for us in the Christian walk, your walk here on earth with the Lord God Almighty, is determined by your faith, your belief in what God says in His promises, and also in asking in faith. And so as you step out in faith, as you believe for the things that God has for you, you step out in faith, you ask for those things, you believe that He wants to give those to you, and as you do that, then the Lord is faithful and true to His promise, and He will bless you, and He will pour out on you every good and perfect gift, just as He did in the day of Pentecost, just as He did on the apostles Peter and Paul and John and Barnabas and Saul and all the others. He will pour out on you the blessings that He has for you. And God is not a miser. He is not stingy. And He wants the very best for you. And so as you step out in faith, as you believe, then He will pour out on you that which He has for you. Well, in Luke 11, verse 9, Jesus says, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion?" Verse 13, this is the key here. "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" And so I just ask you today, brothers and sisters, you know how to give good gifts to your children. Every one of you, when you give things to your children, you do it for the welfare and the benefit and the blessings of your children. And so much more so does our Heavenly Father want to bless us with the good gifts and the perfect gifts that He has for us. And just as your earthly father gave you good gifts, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask of Him? And so we need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our Counselor. And Jesus said in Acts 1, verse 8, that the Holy Spirit, when it comes upon you, you will receive power. You will receive power to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. And so Jesus told the disciples, He said, "Wait here in Jerusalem for what the Father has promised." And He said, as you wait here, you will be given the Holy Spirit, and this Holy Spirit will be given to you, and it will allow you to have power, or dunamis. That Greek word is dunamis, the same word we get our word dynamite from. The Holy Spirit will be given to you, and you will be given power to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. And so Jesus linked the reception or the receiving of the Holy Spirit. He He linked that with the power to be his witness, with the power to preach, with the power to evangelize, with the power to get over your fear and to speak the Word of God to those who don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and to speak the Word of God to those who need to be taught, and to the outcasts who are out there lost and condemned to hell without the knowledge of the Lord and the knowledge that their repentance needs to come forth before they can accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And so we ask in faith, we step out in faith. In Romans 12:3, Paul said, "For I say to you, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." And so each one of us has a measure of faith. We might not all have the same measure, but I can guarantee you, you have been given a measure of faith. You've been given maybe just a little mustard seed. But Jesus said, if you've been given a mustard seed, you can speak to that mountain. You can say to that mountain, "Mountain, move," and that mountain shall be moved into the sea. And so what God requires of us is for us to exercise and to stretch our faith. What God requires of us is for us to take that little seed of faith, to take that little measure of faith, and start to believe for greater things in our life, and start to believe for the gifts that God has for us. Start to believe that those gifts are meant for us, and that we too can be His disciple, that we too can move into the fivefold ministry and be those ministers that God calls us to be, that we too can be ministers and witnesses for the kingdom of God, and we can bring glory to God in this place, where He has placed you, whether it's in this community, whether it's in Africa, whether it's in the prison. God wants you to be His witness, and He will give you the faith to believe that you can do that. He will give you the faith to step out and speak when in your natural you might want to keep silent. He can give you the power to go places. He can give you the anointing to lay hands on people, and the sick will be healed, and they will speak with new tongues, and He will give you the anointing to bring about blessings in people's life. It's not your power. It's not something you have as a natural man, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, you will receive power, as Jesus told the disciples. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, you will then be able to witness for the kingdom of God in whatever place God plants you to bloom. Well, in Hebrews 11:6, it tells us here that without faith it is impossible to please God, for those who come to Him must know that He is, and He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And so when you come to God, you need to come believing that what you ask for, He will give it to you, and what you believe for, He wants you to have, and whatever you ask for the Holy Spirit, He wants you to have it, that good and perfect gift that we saw there in Luke 11:13, that good and perfect gift of the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this is, of course, prophesied by John the Baptist, as we saw last week in the message last week in Matthew 3:11. John said, "The one is coming after me, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." And John said that I baptize you with water for repentance, and so he was comparing his baptism, the water baptism for repentance and the remission or the forgiveness of sins, with the baptism that Jesus was going to be baptizing by, and that is the baptism of fire, that baptism that was poured out on all mankind in the second chapter of Acts on the day of Pentecost. And so as you turn over to the second chapter of Acts, we see that just as Jesus prepared the disciples to receive, just as Jesus spoke to them and said, "Wait in Jerusalem for what the Father has promised you," that it came to be, it came to pass. Just as everything that Jesus has ever spoken has come to pass, and the prophecies that have yet to come to pass, they will literally come to pass. And so just as Jesus spoke, if you wait here, and so they waited 10 days, they waited for the Spirit to come, they were all in one accord. In other words, they were not distracted, they were not thinking about other things, they were not disinterested, they were all engaged in what they were doing, they were waiting, and then on the 10th day after Jesus was taken up, on the day of Pentecost, when the day had fully come, they were all together in one place. And we take it up here in the second chapter of Acts, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one tongue sat upon each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so we see each person, and some people say there was 120 there, there may have been more, but each person there, the disciples and all their friends, this group was gathered there to pray in obedience to Jesus' words, and each one of them received a tongue of fire on their head. There was one tongue of fire on the head of each person there, and every single one of them received. And so back to the question that I proposed at the start of this message, is the Spirit baptism for everyone? And I can safely and with assurance say to you today, brother and sister, that the Spirit baptism is for you, and it is for every believer, it is for every Christian here and in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and even the remotest parts of the earth. And so as you believe, as you stretch out in faith and expand your faith and believe for what God has for you, that He wants you to evangelize, that He wants you to minister, that He wants you to be a powerful witness for the kingdom, it is for you, just as it was for these people there on that day of Pentecost. Well, Peter stands up in verse 16, chapter 2, and he's watching these people. Some of them are acting a little silly. They're acting a little drunk. They were actually accused of being drunk. But Peter stood up in verse 16. He said, "This, what you see happening today, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it came to pass in the last days." These are the words of Joel, back spoken 600 and some years before this event happened in Jerusalem. "And it came to pass in the last days," or "it shall come to pass in the last days," says God, "that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and my maid servants I will pour out my Spirit in those days. And they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord." And so this prophecy was spoken by Joel. Then 600 years later, Peter, who was aware of the Old Testament prophecies and the Old Testament scriptures, he stood up and said, "This is what is happening today. What Joel prophesied, what Joel was speaking about, it is happening before your eyes this very day." And he said, "My Spirit," this is what the Lord God says, "My Spirit is being poured out on all mankind." Well, we know that they all began to speak in tongues. They were acting a little silly. The joy of the Lord was in them. The joy of receiving the baptism of the Spirit was in them. And so that is the situation for the Jews, and that was what Jesus meant. He said, in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the remotest parts of the earth, he said, the Spirit will be poured out first in Jerusalem, and then it will go into the remotest parts of the earth. Well, for the Gentiles, that's me and probably you listening out there today. In chapter 10, we take up the story of a man called Cornelius. He was in Caesarea, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment or the Italian cohort, And it says in verse 2, he was a devout man and one who feared God with all his household. Even though he was a Roman and worked for the Roman army or the Italian regiment, it says he was a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. And in the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And so the angel was sent to Cornelius, and through a circuitous series of events, Peter also about that same time was given a trance or a vision, and he was shown that the gospel, the message of salvation, was for all people, that God was no respecter of persons, that it wasn't just for the Jews. He was showing to Peter that this message is for all people, for all places, for all mankind, every walk of life, Jews, Gentiles, and everyone else on the earth. And so Peter was shown through a series of events to go and speak to Cornelius, and Cornelius was spoken to by this angel and said, Peter is coming and you are to receive him. And so we see over in verse 44 of Acts 10, that Peter had been speaking and he had been given the gospel message to Cornelius and his family and to his servants. And so we see here that something very unusual happens that brings to Peter the knowledge of the fact that Cornelius and his family were receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, in the very same way that Peter and his brethren received it back on that day of Pentecost. Verse 44, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision, that is the Jews who believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. And so Peter and his brethren are standing there saying, wow, this is just amazing. This is astonishing, because what we see happening here is the very same thing that happened to us back in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. And so they are astonished. They see that the Holy Spirit has been poured out on the Gentiles. Verse 46, this was the evidence. Verse 46, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit, just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And then they asked Peter to stay on for a few days. And so we see that just as Peter and the brethren received back in the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem, just as Peter and the brethren received, so too then, because Peter was sent to minister and to preach the gospel message to Cornelius. He was saved. Cornelius was in a place to receive then because his heart had been prepared. He was in a place to receive, and he and his brethren, his family, also received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in tongues just as Peter and the brethren did back at the day of Pentecost. Well, brethren, it is so simple. Even a child can understand this. It is so simple. We have made this very confusing and very difficult with man's doctrines and denominations getting in the way. And I just pray for you today. I'm going to close this message today by praying for you that you will lay down any pride that you have, any teaching that you have that says that the baptism, the Spirit baptism, is not for us today, that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not for us today. I just pray that you lay down any teaching, that you vacate any of those teachings from your mind and from your heart right now. And I'm going to close this message today by praying for you to receive the baptism of fire, that you can be an effective witness for the kingdom of God, that you can move forward and be a powerful witness, that you would not be full of fear of man or of the enemy, the devil, that you would be full of power, and that you would be able to have a sound mind and be able to, with power and grace and the blessings that God gives you and the open doors that he opens for you, be able to carry the gospel into this city and into nations all across the earth. And it is not for just a select few. This is for every single person, and it is for you today if you want to receive. I ask you to just close your eyes and open up your hands, open up your heart, and just receive this prayer that I'm going to pray over you today. Father, you see the hearts of the people out there listening today. Father, you know each and every person. You know the details of their life. You know their motives, their desire, their hunger for you. Lord, you know what is stopping and blocking them from receiving every single perfect gift that you have for them. Father, I ask you to pour out your Holy Spirit into their life today. I pray for a mighty rushing wind over them right now. I pray for tongues of fire over them right now. I pray that you pierce their heart and baptize their heart and rush over them and fill them up, Lord, with the Holy Spirit of God. I pray that they would not hinder it in any way, that they would receive every good and perfect gift from you, just as you did for the Jews back in the day of Pentecost and for Cornelius and his family shortly thereafter. Lord, we just pray that you would bless the people listening today. Bless them and pierce them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, let them speak as witnesses to you and to your kingdom. And let their life bring glory to you, Lord. Let their life bring glory to you. And we just praise your mighty name that they could look at this day and say, this was the day when the Spirit came in and baptized me. And we thank you for that, Father. We pray it all in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, God bless you. I thank you for receiving that prayer. I thank you for listening to this program and for your contributions to keep this program going on the air. If you've received anything from the Lord, any good and perfect gifts, let me know, pureprairie@hotmail.com. Or maybe if you'd just like for me to pray with you some more, pureprairie@hotmail.com, let me know what's going on in your life. I would be more than happy to pray with you. Well, thank you for listening today. God bless you. Have a great week. Tune in again next week.